this Copeland, coping with my emotions. Grab the scrolls and I unfold them. This Copeland's just too potent. Only time is my opponent. We live it within the moment. I simply watch it slip away when ingesting the magic potion. Cite the words on my enchantment as a sacred portal opens. In the dark, I sit broken. Angelic being approaches. Giving a sigil as a token for the masses I've awoken. I'm praised for my devotion and leave the meeting with focus. Aquarian convergence who carry a heavy burden. Connecting with God's servants and walking with seven virgins. Prophecies emerging, reciting the sacred verses. As power is spoken word that reverses demonic curses. Teachings of Pythagoras, spirit rapturing, capturous. Given a second chance, Kundalini rising like Lazarus. Kabbalistic chanting and consciousness is expanding. Passive but demanding, revamping your understanding.
If I don't stop it, I'm just going to sit here and keep listening. You have this quality about bouncing with your music that I don't know what to term it as, other than the anointing is very strong with you. And I'm honored to be here with you today.
Thank you, man. Thank you. That's what it's about, for sure.
Thank you for choosing to come on here. I saw an interesting post by someone not too long ago. I took a screenshot of it so I could save it. And it says, waking up, quote unquote, waking up, is about waking up to the reality of your spiritual self. It's not about learning crazy conspiracy theories. And I thought that would be a good start for what I want to talk about here with you. And it's the running title I had in my mind for this episode would be self-deception, but I don't know if that makes sense to me. It might not make sense to people listening as far as the title goes, but I know that it, for me personally, it was very easy for me to allow for myself to get deceived into this paranoid, super conspiracy mindset once things started becoming real for me in terms of synchronistic, mystical occurrences. Just really, the way I term it is my higher self, the universe, God, however you want, whatever term works for you, in trying to draw me closer to myself and getting me to open that, those ancient eyes, the real eyes, and realize what I'm doing here, what's really going on. All of that I got caught up in looking around and seeing signs and symbols everywhere and witnessing the dark side of that. I've got your book pulled up here. Spirit realm, angels, demons, spirits, and the sovereignty of God. And I found myself getting caught up in the whole rabbit holes. I guess that's what people term it as. And what are your thoughts on this, that waking up is about finding your true self and not about just all of the conspiracy theories?
Yeah. That's a part of it, though, because it takes different things to wake different people up. For many people, their awakening was a near-death experience. We hear those stories all the time where somebody was making so much money in Wall Street and at the top of the corporate ladder. They had a near-death experience, and then suddenly none of that matters anymore, and they met a higher power. They met Christ or something like that, and it radically changes their life. And so that was their wake-up call. Almost had a head-on collision, man. That's my wake-up call, to wear a seatbelt, whatever it is. So even with the terminology there, so with awakening in general, a lot of us, it was conspiracy. It was Alex Jones. It was, or it is, the state of the world right now. And but that's not I don't think that should be the focus. Right? Focus shouldn't be your alarm clock. At first, the alarm clock is the problem. It's the thing that woke me up out of this dream. I got to go to work. I got to leave the matrix or leave the dream realm, which is reality or something, and tap into the matrix and punch my clock in and all that kind of stuff. So it takes different things to wake different people up. And what you named was that for me, too, a big part of it.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to kind of get caught focusing on that alarm clock. That's a great analogy that you used there. Because for me, I think the thing that really woke me up, it began with religion, honestly. And then I don't know how to term it other than that I was involved very deeply in the the Southern Baptist Christian Church. The only difference between me and the rest of the congregation, I guess, was all of that God stuff. It was really real to me. I would read in the Bible, Jesus performed these miracles, or God spoke to this, or he not got called up to heaven, this and that. And I read that stuff and I'm like, wow, okay, God, what's my part in this? What story am I gonna play out?
Yeah.
And of course, everybody around was just calm down, just sing the songs and pray the prayers. And then it got to the point to where I was interacting with some higher power, some force, and I was unable to just sing the songs and this and that. And things just got really real. This God concept got tangibly real for me. And when that became real, I was just saying that when you gaze into the abyss gazes back into you, or into the realm of spirit, I guess you can say, it gazes back at you. Mm-hmm. And I got a real big dose of that. And after that, the next step in my journey here was trying to come to terms with that in the context of the church and all, but it was something I had to get away from, because God that I kept trying to keep inside of this box was no longer inside of the box. In fact, there was no box at all. And I had to leave the church and this and that. And I was ostracized by all of the people there. They suddenly went from being closer to me than my own family to just acting like I was excommunicated, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then I was lost in this realm of what I do now. But the main thing that I remember was, how do I get back to that space where I wake up and every moment of my life has this deeper meaning that I can see through synchronistic occurrences, this and that. It led me to the point of going back and looking at the 9/11 story, just in my searches online and this and that. Just opened me up to the world of conspiracy thought, I guess you could get into. And I think that was back in around 2009. And from 2009 until at least 2009, I was stuck there in the conspiracy mind. And I went through a lot of, I think, unnecessary difficulties, because that was the same. Since I'm talking to you, I'm just going to say God, that was God's way. I'm not sure how my viewers understand what I'm saying, but I do understand what I'm saying. That was God's way of trying to get me to focus on the real awakening, more so than getting caught up. But it took a while. It was a process. And the real thing I wanted to focus on in talking with you is, did you ever find yourself caught up in any kind of trippy psychic spaces where just, I guess, the other side, the dark side, if you will, took control and you found yourself being tormented by spirits or just anything malevolent?
Yeah.
No context for it.
Yeah, I know, right? It's so weird, because when you try to put context to stuff, it's like it goes off of our consciousness and what we've seen, what we think something is supposed to look like, what an angel is supposed to look like. I'm sure you've seen those memes of like people talking about what are drawings of angels, and there's beautiful, immaculate women and babies and cherub and stuff, and say what the Bible says angels look like. And it's like this terrifying, weird, zoid creature. And so,
biblically accurate.
Exactly. Yeah, biblically accurate angels. So it's
not like this.
Everything goes off of what we've seen, movies, what we've been told by parents, books we've read, and trauma. The first time we've seen something, and we start reading into some kind of context of what it's supposed to look like. And so I feel like that kind of came back to bite me on the butt when I was younger, because when I got into like witchcraft and the occult and stuff like that, Satanism, I tried to do everything.
I forgot about that. I've studied a lot of your work, listened to a lot of stuff. Yeah. I've looked into you a lot. I forgot that was an aspect.
That was 101, man.
Going into that a little deeper.
Yeah, that was my entryway in to anything spiritual was the dark side. And weird thing is, I think for a lot of people, it seems with our Western world and conditioning, it's very accessible. You can have your cake and eat it too when we're getting into the dark negative stuff, especially that there's not like a code of conduct or a code of ethics or whatever. Anybody can play with magic or play with fire versus, hey, in order for you to play with on our team, you have to be trained and you have to go through protocol and stuff, which is really how it's supposed to work. And it does work in the spirit. But I got into witchcraft and all that as a teenager, and I was a negative, lost child, you know what I'm saying? Drugs and alcohol as a teenager on a developing mind, and the gang activity, we'd break into houses and rob people and stealing all the occult books we had. I probably had 40 books when I was a teenager, and we stole all of them. All of them was stole out of a bookstore. So you're looking at the karma that even goes with that, the energy that goes with that, if you will. So I did all these rituals and stuff trying to tap in because of different experiences that I had when I was a kid and movies I've watched that I knew something was existed on the other side and I wanted to tap in. And what I say is like none of them worked. I did rituals out of all of those books, Satanic Bible, Necronomicon, all kind of Wiccan books, angel magic, trying to contact entities because I knew that they existed, at least some of them, and trying to do it. Nothing really worked until what I say, they all worked at the same time. And the portal was opened up in my mind and they would pull me in and out of those trances. And they were speaking foreign languages and messing with me and scaring me. And I couldn't breathe and I would go pale and being brought in and out of those trances and stuff. And so that was my entry into spirituality. It's like into the dark side. And you can't, I'll say you can't, that's a projection as well. I couldn't deal with that for long. Like I was going insane. Yeah. Yeah. I really was going schizophrenic, hearing voices and stuff talking to me through movies and through the walls and through other people. And it was just, but it was all dark. Now I have that now, but it's beautiful. It's awesome. It's creative. It's love. It's expression. It's hope. It's glory. But that stuff was all death, destruction, fear. Like it was all the lower nature stuff that those realms that exist that you're talking about with synchronicities and the beauty and angels and God and Jesus and all of that, like that same mindset exists on the demonic realm where you're seeing visions of your death and visions of your family being tortured. And they're just, man, it's when you get on that ground with those beings that they love torturing people, man. And I did that as a teenager and I barely made it out.
Yeah. For me, like I said, it began with the church and this and that, but it's kind of like the veil was ripped back for me in my mind's eye. And I didn't have a context for that at the time. All I had was this Christian ideology that I grew up learning and never really subscribed to until it became real. And then I had a mixture of the beauty and just all of the synchronicities like you mentioned, but also the upside down of that, the demonic stuff was seeing, and I guess to different realities where, you know, my family was in the house and it's just this tortured horror scene in my mind, and it's kind of like I was in that reality, but I was also just here in whatever this reality is at the same time. Yeah. Everybody's wondering what's going on, what's happening with you, and okay, so I had both sides of it at the same time for me, and it became something that I just had to walk through myself, and by the grace of God, made it out to the other side, so to speak, to where now I'm not haunted by it so much. I feel like I'm like I was made stronger because of it. But because of that, I feel like part of my duty now moving forward is to take that experience and try to give back to others that may be now, everything that's going on in the world, there are a lot of people being forced to wake up on various different levels, whether that's to the conspiracy stuff or this and that. But I know where it eventually leads. It eventually leads to awakening some ancient gift within you, your soul, really. And it comes to the forefront in whatever way it's going to manifest for that person. Different people have different gifts. And it can be overwhelming, especially when you have no context for what's actually transpiring in your own individual world. And you have nobody around you that understands or can relate. And so since I had to walk through that hellscape on my own until I got out of the other side, interestingly enough, when I got out of the other side, I discovered your music and this and that. And I could just tell this is a guy that I could have a conversation with about this, because I can tell just from listening, I can tell from this anointing that I feel with his work. And then from listening to your podcast, I can tell that you're not just talking about these concepts that you put into your music because it sounds cool or it's a selling point. It's real. And I think that's really what keeps me vibing out with the music, because I'm like, yeah. And it also takes me back to those days and just the context of all of that.
Yeah.
But what advice would you give to somebody? Let's say there's somebody that sees this video and they've been synchronistically drawn in just to the subject matter because they're like on the edge of that cliff. They're about to also, like you and I were, be thrown into the deep water without a life vest.
Yeah, it's scary, you know, what we call the, especially trying to figure this stuff out. We call it the pendulum effect, because you're going back and forth. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so when you're making this transition, it's scary because you don't have somebody to watch. You don't know anybody who's been through it. At the time, you don't. And you think you may be the only person. And so now you're going crazy and you're the only one that's experiencing this. And the pendulum is, should I do this or should I leave church? Do I leave everything I've believed my whole life because I feel this greater truth is pulling me this way, or my experiences are telling me this, but doctrine says that. It's real. My experiences or doctrine. And people argue. Your experiences mean nothing. That doctrine is something we should stand up for and protect. But hold on, like, my encounter with your doctrine is not what you claim it to be. It's been something that's very abusive. It's been something that's very judgmental, and it creates zealots, and it's not healthy. So balance is key in that pendulum. It's to really try your best to not even go too far left or too far right, but to reach out and grab the pendulum and hold it. And still in the middle, because you're here, you're one day you're talking about UFOs and the next day we're talking about Jesus, and I'm a vegan today, but you're eating meat. I seen you eat meat last week. It's like,
oh. Then you're condemned, right?
You judged everybody for eating meat and now you're doing it. It's like,
you know, that whole thing. That was when it got really weird for me, yeah. Actually. I was vegan for so long because of that pendulum thing. And then I just didn't do it no more. Actually, for me personally, the way my body's set up, mm-hmm. I have to eat meat, at least in some parts now.
Yeah.
As far as like my preference, I would prefer to be vegan, but it doesn't work for me. I've got to have that balance. I know that just through a trial and error, hard time experience. But the first time that I ate meat after that, like, psychically, so to speak, I don't know how else to term it, things got really weird and really like self-condemnation from within.
It felt like a failure and stuff.
Yeah, and then it was like I started seeing in the outside world, I guess, these sneaky little demon things saying, oh, we got you now because you broke the rules. The context was the rules that I made up for myself based on my understanding, but that's not how it presented itself. And I don't know what goes on physiologically with your essence and your light body and this and that. You break that fast from eating meat, if you will, if you term it like that. But I think that's with fasting, it's when you break the fast that the spiritual influx is released. And it was each time it was really overwhelming. It was always some kind of a storyline of, but you broke the rule that you made up for yourself, so now we've got you. And then I'd have to go through that whole dancing with the devil process until I snapped out of it and came back to balance within myself. But yeah, I'm sorry. You took me off there.
Yeah, no, no, there's so much to talk about.
Because I'm actively remembering all these experiences and just the intensity of them. They weren't just psychological debates in my mind. It was like life or death situations going on.
Yeah.
Don't step on a crack. You might actually break your mom's back.
Yeah.
Type stuff. And that's just the level of paranoia that develops if you're not aware that that's where it leads to and you don't stop it in its tracks before it gets there, it really takes hold of you. And then you find yourself kind of in like a downward spiral. You flush the toilet in the water and you're like clubbing the world. That's the word. Mm-hmm. So how do we stay out of that? Because a lot of people, I really feel like coming sooner to the world, humanity, a lot of people are going to begin to have these actual awakening experiences to themselves. And they're not going to know how to handle it. We're just going to see people just going crazy everywhere.
So, yeah, it's already happening for sure.
I know.
Trauma is, it bursts a lot of this stuff and the stories we tell ourselves, again, that whether it's a debate in your head, or was it like it was you and the Galactic Council in your head having the debate, or you and God, or you and the Holy Spirit. And so it gets tricky because you got not just you, but other people too are having that same debate and the same conversation within their head about all kinds of things. And you and your neighbor can have that same debate in your head and come to a different understanding of what is real and what is truth. And everybody you meet, and this has just been something that's been illuminated to me a lot lately, is like people's narrative and what they believe to be truth. And it's getting so far out there. Maybe it's something that's always existed. It's definitely always existed, but I'm just seeing the patterns now. I'm conscious of the patterns and in my own life and my own narratives, and to be honest about them, but interviewing people like I do, and then seeing how these conspiracy theory movements also create narratives. And you would think that they would be with these movements, that there would be some type of commonality, or they would say, this is what's happening with whatever's going on, but they all have different theories. So you think that the conspiracy movement, so yeah, we all believe that this is 5G technology that's harming our body. Wait, it's nanobots that they're putting in your nose. Wait, no, it's not real. It's just the flu. You just got the flu, True Seeker. And it's just like, they're all just different and there's no cohesiveness. And it is chaos. It is Babylonian confusion, but it's order ABK to keep the people confused so that you can come later with somebody who comes onto the scene with some type of solution, order out of the chaos. And everybody's got different narratives in their head about reality, about God, about Jesus, about, you just named the subject. Here's a stick, argue about this stick, you know, that those things on Facebook. And people, it's weird. People within churches, within families, and like I interview these people, they interview me, and it's very strange. It really is. People having their own reality. And so I'm a student of it. I'm a student of truth. I'm a student of Christ, and I want to hear your story. I hope that what you're saying is real. Even if it's just real to you, I hope that you're not making it up, because there's a lot of muddiness, people muddying the waters and stuff, like in the truth movement or ufology or Christianity. It doesn't matter. In the conspiracy, there's a lot of truth in those movements, but there's so much disinfo that it will choke out what little truth is even there. So I've seen that, and I've been a part of that just like you have. And I try to stay away from it, because I've been walking around and just looking for Masonic symbolism and triangles, and a triangle with a circle in it. Oh, look there. And I could see it. Nobody else could see it. And then when you try to tell people, most of them don't care or think you're a crazy person anyway, until everything comes full circle like it has now. But again, instead of being, I told you so, now I'm like, hey, I don't even care. I don't want this to be real. Now I've created a life that I love and I want to preserve it. And I want to enjoy this life. We spend so many years hating ourselves and beating ourselves up and scared and confused. And finally, once you get comfortable in life and things try to threaten it, and what are those threats? Theories are threatening a different narrative, and everyone has their own narrative. But it's like when you talk about countries that are going to war with each other and they're both praying to their God to overthrow their enemy, or both the Bulls versus the Spurs basketball game. Both teams are saying, God, I pray you give us a victory out here tonight. Let us overcome. Let us win. And both teams are praying, you know what I'm saying, and invoking God to act on their behalf to get a W, to get a win. And it's now, does God get up from heaven and say, okay, we're going with the Spurs this year. It's in my master plan. I know you guys are praying too, but you'll have your shot next year. Is God doing that, or is it just in the eyes or the minds of the people? How many of those people think that those kind of prayers are BS? How many of them really believe it? Tim Tebow, like, taking your faith to that level. Faith without works is dead. So the scripture says that. So whatever narrative you believe, I would hope that it is causing good actions and good works, and that you're making you a better person, whatever narrative. So obviously we can't learn everybody's narratives, but doing what I do and browsing the internet like we do, like, you learn that people respond to trauma and make up stuff. For some person, for a lot of people, Trump is a hero. Trump is an undercover hero who is acting on behalf of God to overthrow the elite cabal, and he's going to take them down from the inside out. And that's their narrative. It was their narrative for many people. It still is. Trump is our president right now. This is in 2021, but people still think Trump is president. That's their narrative. They refuse to call Biden president. In their mind, this narrative is still happening, and Trump is preparing to come back, come and save his people from their oppressors and stuff. I don't think that's happening at all, but there's a lot of people who do, and that brings them comfort. That brings them solace to have that. So we have to look at every narrative or every faith or every religious creed or belief, see why you believe it, and definitely why others believe it. I'm into the psychology behind it. I want to know why and who told you this. Where's your proof? Is it real? How much, you know what I'm saying, verification do you have? And most people have none. It's a faith game. Even when it comes to Christ or my beliefs, I don't have a lot of credibility. I don't have a lot of tangible proof. Repeatability is somewhat there, because the only proof I think we need is just a life transformed and a life changed because of this belief and because of this pursuit or creed or doctrine. Like, it makes good men better. So you would hope to champion any narrative in somebody's head that is serving them or helping them, even if it's a form of escape, which I think most of it plays into, is who is right and who is wrong. You know, who is the Messiah? Is all religions true? And they're just responding to this oneness of a Messiah figure, or are all of them wrong except Christianity? Or you read that into every person's that you come across. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I'm interested in it, but that's pretty confusing too. Like, that, trying to understand that. I do this for a living. I talk to channelers, and I want to know I'm not against anything. I'm open to everything. All things are possible for them that believe, is what the Bible says. And so I'm an explorer. I'm a seeker. Like, I want to figure it out. Is that real? Are you lying to me? And it just seems like those people who have some type of proof in this world, where they actually have change going about, and whether it's somebody teaching you financial wisdom, you would hope that person would be rich. Like you're taking financial advice from people who are broke and don't have money. And they're telling you about money and how to get use the law of attraction and manifestation, but they don't have anything. You're hearing about taking this advice from people who don't seem invested because they have the faith, they have the belief, at least they seem to, but they don't have the works. They don't have the proof or the substance that prove what they believe. And so anything that is beautiful, love, joy, peace, the fruits of the spirit, like I personally love that stuff. What helps people get through this hard life, especially what we're going through right now. And for many people right now, it is conspiracy theories. It's helping them. Like, even though it's hurting them, it is to pull you into another reality that, okay, we're not really being tested here. We're being set up for Trump to come back at the last moment before that last curtain call. Trump comes back and signs a decree and throws Biden out of office and takes his rightful place on the throne, much like I believe Jesus is going to do. At the end, before it's all said and done, before the devil sits on the throne and claims his victory, Jesus cracks the sky and comes back with 10,000 of his holy angels. There he is. I told you it was going to get better. And that brings solace to believers, to Christians. Change the narrative to Islam and Muhammad.
It's the same thing as you have a dark night, but then the sun is going to rise again. There's a part of us that you mentioned, like the psychology of it, just with the QAnon people and then the whole Trump doctrine that they've come up with. I look at it and I see it and I say, I have my own political opinions about this. And that doesn't matter. What matters is that now, and because of everything that's transpired, you see a reality that you cannot accept because it's just so out there, everything that's going on right now. And I'm glad that you won't accept it. But like the psychology of it is, since they can't mentally process the reality of everything that's going on with Biden and this and that, they have this narrative and this hope at the end. And that's all that I care about, is the fact that they still have a hope and they're just not going to sit back and just watch it all play out and pretend like it's not happening. Because to me, that's the thing to be avoided.
Not all of them. Some of them come to action, and then you start seeing things like them storming the Capitol. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are people who really believed it, and they're like putting action.
I see it all. People are just all like, all at once, everybody's like finally opening their eyes to see what's, in my opinion, I said I have my own political opinions. Say all of the stuff that's going on right now, that's been going on my whole life. I've witnessed it the whole life.
Yeah.
Nobody around me has been able to, in my physical circle, has been able to identify with the stuff that I said. It's like, oh, you're just crazy. Oh, you need to go take your
probably
pill.
Now, though, right? Now they're more
out. Now they're like, oh, they're probably sitting there. Let me look at Ethan's Facebook here. What is he posting about now? Because I remember him talking about this 12 years ago, and here we are now. And I'm glad. It's not. I wish that I was wrong.
Yeah.
I wish that I was wrong. But I'm glad, whether you're Team Trump or not or whatever, I'm glad that something has happened to stir people up to get them out of bed psychologically. You know, instead of just going to work and paying the taxes and voting and this and that, they're like, oh, I'm not going to get a shot. My dad died from COVID last week, but I'm still appalled by the level of propaganda going on, so I'm a little hesitant. I was talking with someone yesterday about this, and I was telling them about my boss, who's never been conspiracy-minded. He's one of those, I'm going to go watch the game, Ethan, so don't talk to me about 9/11 truth. I don't care. I care about my team winning. I've worked with him for 12 years, and now he got COVID. He got really sick for like 2 weeks, and his dad called him and said, so you're going to get the vaccine now? And he says, No, man, I'm not. It's not been out long enough to be tested. I'm just not. I don't care what they do or all this and that. It doesn't make any sense. And so I'm witnessing his mind becoming active to the point to where he's saying, let me think my way through this. Where are the logical fallacies in this? Why I don't just need to go along with whatever the narrative is. And I really think that there, the official narrative, that it's now dangerous to be anti-narrative in any kind of public platform if you're speaking about it.
Yeah. Well, with that, the reason I stay far away from this stuff, unless I have, right when I feel like God spoke to my heart just a few weeks before anything broke with COVID the first time. And it was like showing me the dangers of conspiracy theories and what it does, and like really breaking them down psychologically and even with scripture and stuff like that. And then COVID hits, and then all the documentaries come out and they're still coming out and people are freaking out. And I've made it because I like prepared myself and I was like, yeah, I'm not watching those, because I've been studying on the dangers of at least what it did to me and what it's done to my friends and what it's done to other people. So I know what you put in your brain, what you feed yourself is important, because it changes the way you view reality. And
it can literally get you to a point where you literally can't function anymore because you're too focused on the conspiracy.
Just like everything is the narrative, though. It's, I have to, like, you really have to do the research. So maybe people probably should listen to a conspiracy theorist, either one to see how batshit crazy they are, or how much truth they have, and they're trying to help you. But I don't think anyone should ever, and this has been something I've been big on too, not just with conspiracy, but doctrine, belief systems, researchers, whatever, like you should be well-rounded. Like you should study the thing that you're attacking. You know what I'm saying? Like, even so, for the conspiracy person who thinks that the mainstream narratives are totally false and bogus and they're not real and we're being lied to, is, hold on. Like, what if they're not? What if you're such a contrarian that you've always went against the mainstream narrative? Even when you was a little kid, you always went for the underdog team. They told you 2 + 2 = 4. You questioned them. You know what I'm saying? You've never believed them. And that's what got you that's what got you ripe for conspiracies to begin with. And now when it comes to it, anything that they tell us, we're trained to believe something different, because whether they have a bad track record, there's so many weights in our head that will justify why we don't believe such narrative. So much so, if I've said out my mouth that if the government comes out and gives us alien disclosure, whatever they say, I've said it, believe the opposite. If they come out and say, there are our allies, no, we're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? My mind just works that way, and I know it. So when it comes to something like this that seems to be pretty freaking important, I know my mind is, it jumps to conspiracies. It jumps, nope, they're lying. I can see it in their eyes. I don't believe this guy. He doesn't seem real, blah, 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 blah. We got all these reasons why we don't. And they're similar. Everybody's reasons are similar. So I have to train myself to kind of research both sides. But hold on. What if these people are not lying to us? What if something's, or what, most likely they're not telling us everything, but even me saying that still drives into the conspiracy that's in me. But it's like, what if everything they're telling us is the truth? What if they haven't held anything back? And I don't believe that that's the case, but we have to look at it that way and just say, what if? Because those people, the people who believe the other narratives about 9/11, and you brought up, you know that, but they've done tests that jet fuel can't melt steel beams, and they wouldn't hear any of it. Nope, you're a crazy person, man. Come on, just look at one piece of evidence. And so it's on the other hand now, is, hold on, we need to just maybe listen. What if they're telling us the truth? What if that everything they're saying is legit? We come up with it. The thing I'm saying is, we come up with every other theory for them, for it not to be.
And you kind of
tell you that it's nanobots they're putting in your nose, and technology, and that bugs that, and they give you the, when they test you for COVID, they, I mean, you, dude, now you're getting HIV when you get tested. You just, what's happening is you can make anything up right now with this climate and it'll sell. Mm-hmm. It'll get views. People will share it. I'm sharing memes and I got to catch myself like, damn, I didn't even. It sounded good, but there's like this info and all of these memes, and I'm freaking.
You look back
pushing
at it,
share right? Because I thought it was dope. Then I'm like, hell, that's not true. Like, why did I share that? Like, I didn't.
I've done that with, like, throughout the years. You see your memories. I go back and I see stuff from 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm like you mentioned earlier with the whole vegan thing. Every time that time of year comes up and I see it, I'm like. Yo, I was sitting here browbeating people about not eating meat back then, which is that's where I was at. That was my understanding of what was right and true. But why was I so adamant about that then? Because now I'm completely, I'm looking back at myself and, yo, I didn't even know I was full of shit. And now I've gotten to the point where I share important things that I think are important, but then I also share outlandish things because it's the internet and everybody's lost sight of that. They can't decipher fact from fiction anymore. And so now it's all on the internet. It's something that I'm trying to filter out what you're saying. Like, oh, you can't say that. That's fake news. I'm like, no, it's a joke. But then you're banned and you can't say anything else. Or it just I'm glad that we painted this picture, because this picture of this confusion and this chaos, this psychological wasteland, I guess you could say, that's what it feels like when you get drawn into the spirit realm, so to speak. And then for me, I got to the point where it was like, these demons are all around and I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. And they're like, well, what's Jesus? These entities I'm interacting with, and they're like laughing at me. Oh, you thought that was real. That's not this and that. And then flip again to this power, I guess you could call it that, the Holy Spirit or the power of Christ comes in, like turning on the light, drives all that stuff away. And it's just like, it's okay. And so just the back and forth and this and that until I reached a balance point of being able to understand there's a lot of things out there that want to trick you into deceiving yourself, to get yourself into a place in your mind to where you can't see the light. You can't tell if the sun is up. Mm-hmm. You don't know that your eyes are closed. In the Matrix, you know, says, why do my eyes hurt? You've never used them before. That sort of thing. And it's just, I see it just from looking out across the land via the internet, which is wild in and of itself that we live in a day and age where you can do that. But just seeing the groups of people in various conspiracy-minded fields. And I'm torn, because me being conspiracy-minded, I'm glad that people are at least looking at the stuff that they used to refuse to look at. But I also see them being sucked into these different factions, and they're all going against each other. I'm like, the whole point of all of this was to say, don't you see the division? Don't you see the divide? Don't you see the human race instead of humankind? Can we all come together on at least something? And it's always the same. It seems like they people, whoever they are always recycling the same divide and conquer strategy. Just distract you from things that really matter, like this may seem a little abstract, but of these three things, which can you get rid of and we'll all be okay? The sun or the rain or the trees? You need all three for life to work at all here, right? So if those are the three, if those three things are that important, then what are we all arguing about here? Because the sun, rain, and trees, they seem to have it all figured out. Can we just get in tune with that? Can we get in tune with that?
What Jesus taught, man, for sure.
Exactly. And that's,
no, I got those words, what you just said, again, echoed from Jesus. That's what helps me. That brings me back to stop freaking out, like about money, about finances, about food, whatever it is, like reading the Beatitudes and Matthew 5, 6, and 7 to bring it back on a simple understanding, simple faith, instead of overcomplicating it, which we do as humans and over again in these cycles. But when I read those words, I take them to heart, and it just goes back. Why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye when you have a log or a plank in your own eye? You're trying to help this person see, but you can't see either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You claim to have the truth.
That's the thing that brings that pendulum swing to a balance point for me is that alternative with the sun, rain, and tree thing. And then, you know, I mentioned these demons around. Well, there's no Jesus here to help you, but there was. There is still the sun, the rain, and that cycle was still going on. And that's my experiential proof to myself, to my own mind, that I am okay, that it is good, that God is real, that I don't need all of the, I don't need to believe the right conspiracy theory or the right religion to exist and to be in tune with the universal harmony that already exists. And I'm really glad that you pointed that out, because I guess I didn't realize I understood from my perspective what I was saying when I said it, but then you put it back into that context of Christ saying, look at this flower.
Yeah. You'll
never be as beautiful as this flower, no matter how much money you have to dress yourself up and pretty. And that's just a flower. So how much more do you think you're taking care of?
Yeah.
And I think if
you don't see the birds freaking out about wondering where their next meal is coming from or who's going to build their house or bills being paid and frantic. He's like, you guys are silly, man. You guys need to learn from the birds. You need to learn from the trees. They need to learn from the flowers and the animals.
On that note, do you think that it, hold on, the question that I want to ask here is, with the in your music and listening to it, specifically the song that I was listening to when you came into the chat here, is the Golden Teachers song. What are your thoughts on using nature to heal some of that psychological trauma? Like in the moment, would you say that it would be beneficial to those who may be struggling psychologically to give like a context to the chaos? Would you prescribe someone a dose of some plant teachers, some plant?
I think so. Yeah, I think it brings things into perspective, because we mentioned the awakening and there's levels to it. And also the near-death experience part of it. Like what happens after a near-death experience? You have an awakening and you'll come back and see that the stuff that you've been freaking out and panicking over is even temporary, just like you. And so at least your experience here. And so I think that plant teachers have a way of bringing things into perspective for you. There's a similar... It's not just plant teachers, though. It's a lot of different things that carry that same echo of be in the moment, be now, be here, be present. And plant teachers are screaming that at us. Meditation screams that at us. Enlightenment and the now moment. And there's a lot of other spiritual exercises that focus on mindfulness that tell you to wake up and be lucid within the dream and be present and stop worrying. And Jesus told us that. He said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Don't even worry about what you're going to eat or wear. When it's time to eat, the food's going to be there. Whether you got to go to the store, whether it's in your cupboard or whatever, don't stop worrying, because you know the things that you're caring about, maybe there's other things that you should care about that are bigger. I don't know. But because you're worrying about the small minutiae, your brain power and your empathy and all that's already worried about worldly material stuff that's fading away, and versus be lucid in the dream, be present, be awake, be aware, have fun, because this is fleeting. our lives are but a vapor here. And here you are wasting time, and it's bad for your health, and it's bad for your brain to be freaking out and fretting and stressing. It's bad for your blood pressure. It's bad for your heart rate. It's bad for a lot of things to be stressed and freaking out and on edge. And such is the life of a conspiracy theorist, such is the life of a schizophrenic. That's the, and when we talk about demons, you know, the idea is that they want to live in your head and plant ideas and things about yourself and about life and about the president and about your family and about your lover, about whoever, Muslims, that isn't even real. Like, it's a narrative, and these demons are selling you narratives that you believe have got you on panic mode, bugged out. Jesus, what are you doing, man? You know, yeah. What you worry about? Why are you worried about Herod? Let Herod do Herod.
Yeah.
Let Caesar give to Caesar what's his. This is his money. Give it to him. F that money. It's got his face on it. Yeah, give it to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Don't concern yourselves with these people's narrative. They try to pull you in, though.
Yeah.
So nicely crafted meme. Hey, Ethan, look at this. Remember you was in the 9/11 truth?
Yeah.
And share this out. So whatever it is that's going to open that floodgate in, and now you were meditating, you were praying, your mental health was on point, you're saving money, you're enjoying life, and now you're back in this weird, 3 weeks later, you've been researching conspiracies, and you're like, shit, I haven't prayed, I haven't meditated, I haven't helped anybody, I haven't reached out to my friends to check on them, I've just been watching videos and or whatever.
You know what I'm saying? In the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, in the whole movie with the Matrix, ironically, they're going to release this next Matrix film. And they picked the date that I'm releasing the first episode of the podcast here. And it's just like, what I remember about the story. Oh, yeah, all of humanity is plugged into this machine, which tricks their mind into living in this world that doesn't even exist beyond this. Sounds
and kind of all are the
yeah.
The thing is, though, even we're talking about these narratives as if our narrative is true, or there's not another one that is really at play behind all of them, if there even is. That's the Matrix, right?
Like, keep you running in the hamster wheel, generating energy for. Or rather, not so much generating energy. The way I see it is, it's a way to divert your energetic output away from something beneficial, something good, something wholesome. You could spend your time loving your family or helping your neighbors or feeding the hungry or taking care of the broken. But instead, you're arguing on the internet with somebody about COVID vaccines or wearing a mask, or
and it could be a bot. You never know.
It could be a bot.
Like, isn't that a crazy conspiracy? But it crosses my mind. Like, these are NPCs that I'm just arguing with an autoresponder on Google or something.
Some deep mind AI is having a very human conversation with you in
never
the comment
know.
Section. And I wrote a song. It's actually titled Artificial Intelligence. Hold on, what are the lyrics? I'm languishing with language's forbidden apple tree so I can find out where the danger is and what it really means. And should I really just trust suggested memes on lustful screens or discuss disgusting antics which the rest of us can't see? Cinematics, mathematic, graphic tactics seem to be choreographed, automatic, distractive imageries, captivating your imagination's active practicing so you can never unravel this maladaptive entities, packaged intervention in your system, packets, just a ping, and it's trafficking by some data, but that don't matter because just a ring, an acoustic babble shatters your cadabra's amber being. We're playing Scrabble in a battle that you haven't even seen. And I had a conversation with a tree and that song came into being.
And that's dope, man.
And that might sound weird to anybody talking about. I had a conversation with the tree, but
this is what he told me. The tree was talking shit about the cell phone.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, how do I stop looking at my phone so much? And the tree was just like, just put it down. And I was like, what do you mean? Just put it down. Just put it down. Wait, what? Just put it down. You'll be all right. But you already seem like you're not going to be all right if you keep looking at your phone in order to stop. Listen, just put it down. And so I had this conversation with the tree and that came into being. And ironically, when I was writing the line about acoustic babble shattered your cadaver, I was in the moment. I was writing, I was being creative. And then my phone rang. And it was a spam robocaller. I stopped. I got up and I went to answer my phone because I thought it was something important. And it broke my flow with my song. But then I wrote that next line.
Because I hate when I get up and run to the phone's ringing. I run to it.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello. Yeah, I want to save you 10% on cards.
Yeah. And that just goes to show all our phone has to do is make a little noise that we're familiar with it. We're already trained.
I've been turning notifications off.
Yeah.
It's been helping.
Yeah. Turning that sort of stuff off. And then you can maybe not even read a book by a tree. Just sit there at the tree. You don't even have to like close your eyes and do some kind of visualization in your mind, meditation. Just sit there and breathe and be grateful that the tree is helping you to breathe when the sun's shining. Eventually it's gonna rain, so that cycle continues, and then just rest in that. Just God says, be still and know that I am God in the midst of that storm.
Yeah.
That there's so much power in that, but it's so simple, it's divine. I don't know how else to term it for me, but that it just flies right over the heads of people that don't really get it. They're just like, yeah, okay, I hear that, but how does that help me decide whether or not I need to quit my job because of this and that? And the vaccine, and I don't like what the president said here, and I don't like, it's just like, calm down, because if you don't calm down, where things are headed, it's going to get a lot weirder, and you're going to get even more confused, and then you're not going to be able to sit down next to that tree, because we're going to cut them all down in our frenzy to come up with some other way to distract ourselves and divert our energy away from something of value. And I think the only things of value are the things that are that mentioned in the Beatitudes, as you said. And of course, it's been years since I've looked through the Bible except for anything to relate up with a conspiracy theory. Sometimes it's not even conspiracy based, I'm having some kind of revelation, and I'll reference something in the Bible that comes up, and I'll cross reference that with this and that. But can you repeat for us just the Beatitudes?
Yeah, they're simple. Again, I always say going back to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, like those are the go-to ones. And so the Beatitudes, I believe, is in Matthew 5. And that's just what it's dealing with is a lot of persecution and upside down and backward. Like you say this, but this is the true thing. It looks like the rich are happy, but really the meek and the poor. It's like, the Matrix says this, but reality says that. But the kingdom is this. So I can breeze through a couple of them really quick. So Matthew 5, just start at the beginning, just really quick. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And for me, like, this next one was big for me, and it still is, especially regarding the pandemic and conspiracies. Number 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So to be able to make peace, be a peacemaker, one who makes peace between factions, between religions, between jab or no jab, between black or white, between gay and straight, between whatever, like I'm here to make peace. And so for me, that's been something huge. And understanding at the when it says, blessed are they, it lets me know also that there's a blessing in it. That if I stand up for peace, that if I attain peace, if I be a person of peace, that there is even a blessing to be uncovered for me in it. And if that, and if it's only just sanity,
yeah,
one hell of a blessing, buddy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted again. It is thence good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto the whole room or all that is in the house. So let your light shine before all men. Not let your knowledge, not let your wisdom, not let your conspiracy, not that you got it all figured out. You've been in this for 20 years, man. You catch it on. You're able to connect the dots. No, it says, let your light shine before all men that they may be able to see your good works.
Yeah.
They may be able to see that you're a peacemaker.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it says, and they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven, by seeing your good works. And you maintaining peace in the time of where nobody has peace. You can't buy it anymore. It's fleeting. Drugs, alcohol, addiction, like it runs out. But to have a peace that surpasses all understanding, which is one of the blessings I believe we get from Christ, which is what the word says. And that's universal law to me. That's truth. His word is truth. And so that's what's going to get me through. It's not decoding the matrix. It's not figuring out that I'm sovereign and I'm a free man and you can't tell me what to do. Like, for some people, like, it's important, and maybe it is to a degree, but figuring out what your enemy is doing and the way the mind of your enemy works, that if once you figure it out, you're going to win. No, the Bible even says that they keep coming up with new ways to do wickedness. Chapter 2. Oh, this was just chapter 1. Boom. We got some new stuff for you. You heard what they're doing with the children? Yeah, QAnon. What? You heard what we're doing? You heard what we're doing with adrenochrome? What? And people are like, "Wow, yeah, man." They love it. They just eat it up, whether it's real or a conspiracy on top of that. But that's what you're filling your mind with. And there's not room enough in your head for all of that stuff. The Bible says, think on these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is peaceful, whatsoever is of good report, whatsoever is noble, think about it. And to have it in your mind, versus, and I wonder what they're going to do when they catch us all, dude. Are they going to kill us all at one time? Like, I'm thinking about that. I'm to be honest with you. Yeah. Are they going to kill us together? Are they going to turn on a switch and everybody who got it dies together? Are we all going to, in 2 years, and everybody who got it, we got you. We turn on 5G and everyone dies. My mind's thinking about that. No, get that shit out of my head. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, that's not pure. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever is virtuous, whatsoever is of good report, think on these things. There's a reason. And it also, before it says that, it talks about conspiracies. It talks about endless questions, genealogies. Who was your grandfather? Are you a true descendant of, you know, all these theories? And
are you a true Hebrew? Are you a true
descendant? You're not an Israelite.
No.
I was a Hebrew Israelite. That's why I know these things. That's why those scriptures mean a lot to me, because I've been in utter chaos and confusion. And that's the only thing that brought me solace. And it continues to do it. No, and all it is waiting for me to open it up, read it, and then let it permeate my spirit and apply it to my life. So it's really up to me, or up to you, anybody listening. How long do you want to stay out of it and get into the matrix or whatever you want to call it in conspiracies? Because it's fun, but it's panic, it's worry, it's restless nights, it's stupid things that we're filling our head with. And it's probably not any of it's true, but it becomes true to you because you believe it in your head and you create it. It's your narrative. it's coming. It's inevitable. They're going to kill us all. You're not promised tomorrow.
Exactly.
Anyway, why are you worried about, Jesus told you, don't worry about whether you live or die, or whether if you, what you're going to eat and drink, and what clothes you wear. Let me study in that stuff. Be with the people while you're here.
Walk in the spirit. It's the title of the podcast here is Beneath the Surface. And that's what I'm trying to bring people's focus to see what's beneath the surface. Okay, you looked into some conspiracies, this and that, and then stuff got really weird. You started seeing ghosts and talking to spirits. But why? What was going on beneath the surface? What was the purpose of it?
Yeah.
I don't think the purpose was for you to get caught up in all that and just stay there and join in on the war. What war? Mm-hmm. Who's fighting? We good? Was the purpose of it all so that you could look out and be informed, so that you can make an informed decision moving forward, or was it so that you could get lost? And then the obvious answer, that's a rhetorical question, because the obvious answer was it was so that you could know how to navigate. But
yeah, part of that is getting lost too, though. Yeah. So it is part of our journey. And I'm thankful for everything that I've been through, and I'm still here to talk about it and make it back. And I know you are too.
Yeah.
It's because you have experience. You have, it's now, it's a part of the map that was hidden in the fog of war that you uncovered because you traveled there when nobody else would. And you did, and you come back and you live to talk about it. So now those people who are finding the next narrative to follow, you can warn them. It doesn't mean they're going to listen, but let's just say if it's 10 people, maybe three of them listen. Let's say one of them listens, and that's one person that you saved the heartache of going down that path that not everybody comes back from, like going into the fog of war. Some people die.
Yeah.
There's enemies, there's terrors, there's things that are hidden there. There's anxiety that people take their own life, and there's fear and schizophrenia that comes in those areas. And so it's not just, hey, believe our narrative. It's, hey, there's some dangerous stuff out there, bro. Yeah. And not everybody makes it back. And I hate hearing about that. But it's the truth. And I think I'm thankful that I did make it out. I was lucky. Not everybody does, from the stuff I bounced back from, and I'm still here. So gratitude comes into play. In the midst of a conspiracy theory, listen, I'm thankful I'm here now. I was supposed to be dead 20 years ago when we were smoking whatever we were smoking and driving whatever we were driving. We used to ride on the top of the car. Like, we had games where people would be driving down dirt roads really fast as we're teenagers, and we'd climb out the window and crawl over the top of the car and crawl in the other window. Dudes did that on the interstate, bro.
Yeah.
Somebody climbs out the window, and they're on the hood going down the interstate, and they climb in the other. So, hold on, you see that dude's still here?
Yeah.
Hey, so man, think about some of the stuff you did when you weren't cognitive. You weren't.
It could have ended right then, right that quick. It could have ended, but it didn't. So,
yeah.
Why are you worrying about this virus or this president or this narrative, this? Look beneath the surface and see why you went through all of that. Why you're still here today? Are you here to maybe speak a word that's going to hit just one person the right way? That's going to cause them to open their eyes and see that their life has value too. But they don't have to walk around this mental illness, if you will, that they keep hitting expertly from everybody else, but they're just suffering daily. You know, and then if you don't direct your energy in that form, if you don't allow for the Holy Spirit, if you will, or just for your higher self or your soul or the God part of you to be what's walking day in, day out, then you're not going to be there to provide them with the medicine that they need, that only you have, because you have the experience. You were lucky enough to make it through to the other side. So are you going to shine that light, or are you going to hide it under that bushel and bury it in?
We talked about entities. We talked about parasites and energies and stuff. And if you go outside and you have a torch or a light, it attracts bugs. It attracts creatures and lions and things that are hiding in the darkness can now see you. because you're illuminated, and now you become the target, the ridicule. They're talking amongst themselves about the illuminated one out there, and you become a target. So again, it's like, maybe I will hide it under a bushel for now. I'm not ready to hold it in the air. And so there's so many reasons for us not to, but I think that God gives us the grace and the ability to take those excuses away and to be bold for our truth. And
he also prepares you for the time when, you know, Jesus didn't get into work until he was 30. He didn't just, all right, I can walk around and talk now. So yeah. I'm busy.
Yeah, everything happens in perfect time, and I believe.
Would you mind sharing just a little bit with your journey, like with where you're at now? I know you got I'm really excited to get the pre-order of White Magic coming out. Like I said, I tapped into your field.
I think you bought the first pre-order.
Man, I was literally, there was just this 2-week period where I was just like, I put on my Spotify playlist. I made my own playlist with all of your music. And then I just listened to it on repeat. And I was like, why am I listening to this again? Because it's been a while since I down this path. I was like, just on Facebook, I was like, dude, bro, you're making more music? You put down something new or something? And I wasn't asking, yo, I'm excited to hear the new stuff. I was like, are you like in the middle of doing it right now? Because I'm sensing something. And you're like, yeah, man. And awesome. The title of it, White Magic. So you're at this point, you've got the podcast and you're really consistent with that. I see you on there weekly, multiple times. And can you tell us about can you look back in your past and see God like preparing you to begin this, your great work, I guess you could say?
Yeah, everything comes full circle. Everything comes to a head for a certain reason. I don't think I'm done by any means, but I definitely felt like I was prepared to do it. I put a lot of that in my music too, about the separation and for a time of preparation. In several songs, there's the notion of God or the angels or the ETs or all of the benevolent entities, if you will, orchestrating this for you. Listen, we've given you a time of separation. We've given you a time of great trial and testing, and you've passed the test. We've been looking to see if you were worthy to carry the torch, because we need somebody who's not going to drop it. Because if you drop the torch, then you catch the whole forest on fire. And so I do believe in this preparation process, and we're part of it. And God, the angels and the demons, I think, too, which is what my book is about. That God uses everything to be as something to buffet you or to prepare you and to get you, make you better, and to be ready to carry your anointing. That word anointing we've been talking about, that comes from pressure. That comes from being tried. And the oil has to be, the olive has to be pressed and has to be crushed and it has to be demolished and broken in order to get the oil. And it's the same way with the analogy of the refiner's fire, that there's gold inside of you, but there's also impurities that must be burned out for you to be made into fine gold. And so that takes fire. That's God's fire that is turned up in our lives in its adversity. It is failure. It is what the world is going through. The fire is turned up for the entire world right now. Exactly. And what's coming out is crazy conspiracies. What's coming out is holding on to the narratives. No, I believe this. No, take and God's, let me have it.
Yeah.
Let me have it. Let me have it. And we have to give this stuff up to be made like pure gold, to pass through the fire so that all of the impurities come out. And that's the process.
So what was your process before you, how did you come about to starting the podcast and really starting with your musical career? Was it calling, like God spoke to you at some point, you dropped the vision in your head and you're like, okay, I have to bring this to fruition? Did you go through a process of refiner's fire where you were preparing for it? Can you just share if you don't mind sharing just your
personal? Yeah, it's hard to just pinpoint it because it's been years and it's been a lot of little testings and little things that you have to pass. And It's training, it's studying, it's trial and error. You know, it is getting lost in the wilderness and coming out. Literally, the analogy of the wilderness in the scriptures was, when you're in the wilderness, that's an interesting concept to read about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for years. And they could have did one thing that would have got them to their next level.
And they weren't
the next day or just a few days.
They weren't very far away.
They weren't far.
And it wasn't just 4 days and 4 months. It was 40 years.
But what was happening to them spiritually? What was happening to them of learning to trust? Because we've seen that they complained a lot. Oh, man, in Egypt, man, they took, man, we had regular food in Egypt. You're making us eat wafers on the ground? Like, we ate like kings. If they did anything for us in Egypt, they fed us good. And you're making us eat freaking stuff that doesn't taste like it, like anything. And so there's the matrix, you know, yeah. The analogy. I'm eating it, but it doesn't taste like anything, but I know it's nourishment. Oh, we can go back into Egypt, the land of bondage, and we can actually have food and eat like kings and taste chicken again. And
I've never seen that analogy.
Man.
Tying that with the cipher thing in the matrix. So.
I never did it. Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, then you miss so much. That movie's full of the Ark, even Noah's Ark and stuff. But I found myself in those stories, in the scriptures of reading Matthew 5 and 6 and reading the book of Exodus as they're going through the wilderness and they're complaining. I mean, that's why the Bible's so powerful, because it's able to pull you in and it'll show you where you are. If you don't read it, you won't know it. But if you really get in to reading and to study and understand, but not as a theologian or not to teach or not to disprove, but to read to, okay, God, I know you're in here somewhere. Please speak to my heart. Okay. Maybe even say that prayer, set that intention. And then it begins to open up and show you things in your psyche and things that you've learned and stupid things that you can't stop doing it. You'll read about a person who's doing the same damn thing that you're doing it and how they died, they couldn't stop. And you're like, oh God, I need
yeah, to quit. That's the part where, when I mentioned this God thing became real to me, tangibly real. It was like, I wasn't just reading a Bible story anymore. I wasn't just something I said God speaking to me. It was right in my face. I read something like that. It's like, he died because this and that. Oh, the donkey he was riding on turned around and said, yo, what the hell are you doing?
Stop kicking me. Yeah, I'm not going that way. There's something. I see something that you can't see.
I see something that you can't see, and you know you're not supposed to be going that way anyway. So.
Yeah, that's God and us, and we're begging, man, why won't this job work out? Why won't this, I want to do this for a living. Why won't it work out? Like, I see some stuff that you can't see, and we're going to get there. We're just going to take the long way around. We can't go this way. We got to go the long way around, because there's things that you learn. And the Israelites, they learned there was things that came out of them in that process, that when they got to the promised land, and I have to use this analogy in my life of working jobs that I hated. I did a lot of stuff, man. I did a lot of stuff that I didn't want to do as far as for jobs, and I never wanted to be there. But it was all part of that process. I had to go through it. There was things I had to learn on those jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I had to learn how to cut grass. Like, I had to learn how to dig a ditch and use a shovel. I had to learn how to change a tire and change. Like, I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. But then I can look back on it and see God's hand on my life of, wow, everywhere that I went, none of it was for a mistake.
Yeah.
It all at the time, I'm like, man, I don't want to be changing no damn tires. No, you need to learn how to change a tire, because when you get a flat on side of the road, or you can stop and help this family who doesn't know how to change their tire, you can change theirs and you can pray for them and touch their heart, because I have a message for you, for them, and you're not going to stop and give it to them unless you see them with the tire change. Mm-hmm. You know, everything works together, and there's no mistakes, and there is no, that is the synchronicity, is your whole freaking life. We like to see 11, 11, 333, Romans signs 8, and phrases.
Romans 8, 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything works together for the good of those who love God, and nothing can stop that. And when you become cognitive of it, and it is being lost.
Yeah.
because once you get lost, you start to panic. You freak out. Oh my God, we're lost. We're lost. We're lost. I said, hold on. That panicking doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get us unlost. Get the map. Get your GPS. Let's figure out how to get the hell out of here. It's the only thing that's going to get you out of it. It's not freaking out, panicking, crying. You may want to do that, and you may do that for a season. But once you start over and over again, you're like, hold on. I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to ask for directions. Yeah. And so getting lost and taking these tests over and over, you level up. It gets things out of you. That panic of getting lost is, no, listen, I dealt with this before. Small thing to a giant. So for me, that whole process is my entire life, but I definitely, it kicked into gear and I became more cognitive of it and submitting to that process and knowing that it's a process and getting interested in it and working with God and trying to, what is it for me to learn here? What do I need to do so that I get the bigger picture? And not even letting that drive you crazy, because you're like, okay, I think I learned everything. Because everybody I tell, and they're in a job they hate or something they hate, they're like, I learned everything. I think I learned it all. I don't know why. And trust me, I was the same way. But it's still finding this place of being in the moment and being mindful where you are. And a lot of things come out of you. And so I think that being thankful and grateful for a job or for a podcast or for renown or influence, because dude, if I had the numbers and stuff that I have now back in 2010,
knowing what to do with them,
no, I would have fed them conspiracy theories, because that's what I was doing.
It was 2.0.
I would have learned everything. I would have just regurgitated everything he was teaching. Yeah. I watch Alex Jones and I'd go live and talk to my fans about it, and I'd scare the shit out of everybody. that's not what you're supposed to do. Yeah, and that's not my call. I think that there's levels to it that God allows you to access once, you know, there's levels of density, that there's things you can't bring with you to the next level. You can't bring conspiracy theories to the place I'm bringing you. You want to know the secrets of heaven? Well, you got to stop trying to figure out the secrets of Biden. You want to know how angels work and operate? Stop trying to figure out how Trump works and operates. Because you'll never figure it out. You're going to be lost in the land of confusion. But if you want that, I'll let you do it for as long as you want to, until you search it out and you figure out, damn, there's nothing here. They don't even know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is that you come to. So I choose the latter. I think that's peace. I think that's joy. I think that's understanding of, let me figure out how the cosmos operates. Let me figure out how angels, synchronicity, how are they talking to us? How are they...
How did I open the Bible to this page right now?
You know? Yeah. It says, yeah, that's what I want, more of that in my life.
Why did they have that verse number and that?
Synchronicity and all that, and the universe, you find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
If you're looking for Masonic symbols, you'll find it everywhere. If you're looking for esoteric symbols, you'll find it everywhere. If you're looking for Christian symbols, you'll find it everywhere. Whatever you're looking for presents itself to you, and the universe is set up that way. So that's why we need to, I think, take heed to the scripture says, think about these things. Whatsoever is pure, virtuous, of good report, of good cheer, think about these things. I think that was a lot of wisdom that was given, and for a good reason, because there's no doom and gloom in that. There is, we're going to get through this thing together. We're not going to die in the middle of it. The Bible, there's truth, there's like encouragement, there's heavy stuff in there too, so don't get me wrong, there is a lot of heavy stuff. There's call to action,
there's also the anchor points.
There's what now?
Those anchor points. I think that what you're saying, you know, think on these things, those are anchor points, and that's
foundation.
There is the heavier stuff, but then there's a really heavy anchor to keep you balanced out on that pendulum swing. And I think that's really the key for just humanity moving forward with just everything that we got going on right now, is to not get caught up in the swirl, to remain anchored. And what do you remain pure?
And obviously, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. because it is a narrative. Even though we're quoting those scriptures and saying all that stuff, the next person who's just trenched in this other stuff, they're like, yeah, you're right. But all signs point to what I'm doing and why I'm doing the right thing. They don't even like that word conspiracy. It's because a conspiracy documentary just came out that said that the CIA created the term conspiracy theorist to disprove people who were seeking the truth about the government and the CIA. It's like, see, man, I know, right? Just because somebody said it with like music in the background and in great production, does that mean it's true? No, not at all. We follow teachers and people who are thoroughly convinced of whatever narrative is that they're trying to sell you. That, and we believe them because they seem convinced and we think that they're telling the truth. Jordan Maxwell was like, I love Jordan Maxwell. He's got a lot of great stuff, but he's off on a lot of things, just like we all are. But Jordan Maxwell has a way of convincing you that it's truth. And what I'm telling you is the word. This is the only way it's going to be. I've lived my whole life. And it's, when you say things with such conviction, people are looking for authenticity. And you can be sincere and you can be totally convinced of this narrative or whatever it is you're teaching, but it doesn't make it right or real or for me or part of the narrative of what I would say the creator has for me to bring to the table. And I don't want to project. Maybe what you're into, maybe what you're studying, maybe, listen, there's a purpose for everything. There's learning in it, and there's seasons of everything. For everything under the sun, there's a season, there's a time for it. There's a time for conspiracies. There's a time for war. There's a time for love, hate, peace, like everything under the sun. I just try to trust that process and not try to project my relationship with conspiracy theories with your yours, even though I see the fruit, I know what it does. I know what it brings to the table. And I know you're frantic and I know you're getting kicked off of every platform. And I know you're mad. You should probably try a different approach, man, because what this stuff you're doing is not working. Whether you're changing the names of people or whatever, man, but you got to respect people's free will.
Yeah.
And that's what they're into. And
It took me a long time to calm down with trying to push whatever narrative I came up with into the minds of others and just realize it doesn't really matter who I convinced of what or this and that. There's something beneath the surface that actually is going on that I'm being distracted from with all of this. And you calm me down with that, then I realize I can think whatever I want. And it doesn't matter if they believe like me or if they don't. I'm not going to waste my time getting in an argument about this or that because it's pointless, it's fruitless. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to bring some of the fruits of the spirit that have manifested in my life. I'm going to try to bring that to the table. And if anybody's hungry, they can have some.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately all that you can do.
That is all you can do. Everybody's, again, narrative or what they believe to be true, it's up to them. And you can't force anything on anybody. I really think that's where a lot of things changed for me is when I took that approach and I quit trying to convince people of what is truth. And at the end of the day, it was stuff that I laugh at now that I wouldn't be caught dead believing or trying to get someone to believe that I would have given my life for it at a certain time. I was a street preacher. I was an Israelite. I was a lot of different things over the course of my life. And I'm thankful for all of it because I learned so much under each guise and what it brought to the table and what I felt a conviction to do with the information that I learned. And then there was a responsibility that came with it. And I think that many people today, it's the same thing. It's faith with works. It's not just having a belief and I know all of this stuff. Okay, now what do I do with it? I got to tell people. I got to help people. People need what I have. And so once I stepped back from stepped back from that, which was a part of my awakening. Things we got a lot began become a lot easier. I didn't have to force anybody. I didn't have to trick anybody to believe anything. I don't care if you believe anything that I believe what I believe mostly for a reason, because it helps me or I've experienced it. And so you can't project. And those experiences really helped me to step away from the dogma.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I grab you by the shirt? Man, aliens, man, they come when you ask them to come, or they'll show up. And that's real to me. Like, I encountered it. Like, it took a lot of fasting. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of separation and to be taught. And I experienced the things that I was looking for, and what I was looking for showed itself to me. It did. And it does. What took me months, if not years, to come to a knowledge, or I share it. I talk about it openly because those other people who are into it,
it helps them
just to know that they're not crazy too.
Exactly. That's the entire reason for me wanting to have you on here was to kind of, anybody that finds my stuff, I want to put you in front of them and say, look,
I do the same thing.
You're not crazy. You're going through this. And you don't tell anybody about it, or maybe you tried to tell somebody about it. Go listen to this guy's music. Go listen to a podcast, this and that, because I know that it's been a great service to me personally, just to realize someone else has also walked a similar road and they made it to the other end and their legs are stronger now for it, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there is a great hope at the end. I don't have to walk around in this victim mentality of super paranoid conspiracy, this and that. And I really feel like the helping of others through that, not dropping that torch like you were talking about, so that the path is illuminated for others, being a lighthouse, as the preacher back in the day used to say. He said, he wants the church to be a lighthouse in this community. And I really think where he was coming from was genuine, wanting to be that lighthouse. And I think that's what we're here to do. The same way the trees stand tall and make sure we can all breathe, and not just us, but the rest of the creatures on the earth. We're the walking trees, if you will. We got to maintain this balance instead of just getting lost in the matrix and all this and that. And every time, I don't even like using that term, the matrix, anymore, because of what our minds have turned that whole idea into. Because what I'm talking about is the reality outside of the organic nature of life and the miracle of that. Everything else is just anything we just make up in our minds and feed energy into it. That's the matrix to me. With that understanding of it, then I'm not afraid to use my phone as much as I need to if I need to communicate. But back then, when I was having that conversation with that tree, I didn't know how to let go of it. The phone was holding on to me instead of me holding on to it. It was no longer a tool. I was its plaything. And that really freaked me out. But now, going through the process of just calming down with all of that, realizing that I'm not crazy, and realizing that the matrix is just more like an overlay, more so than it's something to be escaped from, allows me to come back down to earth and to really allow my life to be of service to others.
Yeah, when we look at Neo, like he was in the matrix.
Yeah.
But he learned how to master it. He learned the laws of the matrix. He was able to go back and forth from reality, which is spirit, which is the kingdom of God, I would say. Universal law, just the way things work, who we really are, and then tapping into whatever persona or whatever it is you are while you're here in this incarnation. And so it's not to escape the matrix and go back to wake up where everything's all weird and machines, and that's no fun either.
Exactly.
That's not fun. Like, the matrix may be more fun than the reality of
it's kind of like you have to transcend the whole thing instead of fighting against it or or this thing, the rise above it to a higher.
To be lucid in the dream.
Yeah.
We talk about lucid dreaming. This, we call this a dream. If it's the matrix, then we need to be lucid. We need to know that we are asleep in the dream so that we can wake up and we can, okay, now I can make some things happen because I know how powerful I am. I know that there's laws to this. And that's just waking up. That's just being conscious.
Thank you very much for being on here. I'm going to bring this to a close. I think it's been a very, I know that just for me, it's been a very beneficial chat to have with you. You want to tell everybody some more about your projects coming out?
Yeah, for sure, man. So yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoyed it. I always love connecting with you. When we do, man. Yeah, but people want to find out more about my work, you can just go to my website, truthseeker.com, truthseekah.com, and all of my stuff's there. I got a new album coming out. I do spiritual and esoteric hip hop. I have a book out. I am writing some more, and I have a lot more ideas of creativity and just courses and meditations and a lot more stuff that I'm working on, and my podcast that I do a couple of times a week. All of that's there at the website, truthseeker.com.
All right. And y'all be sure to check that out. I'm going to be checking my mail pretty rapidly over the, you said October, was it with the pre-release, the White Magic?
That's the date. I just, honestly,
I know how that works. So
I just mastered it. Like,
awesome.
And the thing is, though, that the people who pre-ordered, it could be delivered to you any day in your inbox to have it early.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I will say this just to let you know, I'm not 100% sold on my album cover. And so now I'm taking I've had some other visions of kind of what I wanted, and I want to be, every album I've been like, okay, that's my stamp. You got to keep looking at it. Like, so I'm not sold. It's okay, but I don't think it fully represents some of the mystery and some of the magic that's in this album. So I want to be sure. So I'm just messing with some ideas. Other than that, I just finished the album up yesterday. I got it rendered down in all the good formats, mastered, ready to go. But I want to make sure that album cover is correct. And once the album cover is correct, which may be tomorrow, you can have it. You could literally have the album in your inbox tomorrow night. So be waiting.
I'll definitely be looking for that because, like I said, I was tapped into the energetic or the frequency of what you were creating very heavily. I'm all the way here in Georgia, and I just, it's like I heard the music, so to speak. So I'm very excited to listen to that. Your music definitely ministers to a deeper part of myself.
Me too, man.
Your podcast, the whole reason that I'm even doing any of this is the one that you did with that Ken Foster, The Curse to Change Everything. I bought his book and this and that. That was a podcast that I listened to, and I was just scrolling through. I was like, I'm going to listen to this. And it was exactly what I needed to hear at the right time. And then this whole idea for On the Personal Media dropped into my head, along with the podcast and just everything else. And
you can create it, man, for sure.
Yeah.
I know. Us creatives, we got so many ideas, but execution can be hard. That trigger.
I had to go through a lot of inner transformation in that time just so that I would be able to walk this path.
Yep.
Thank you again, and have a nice night, man.
All right, brother. You too. Thanks for having me, man.
Simplicity, the golden teacher, speak to me the lessons of eternity. Wisdom from the elements, tell me I am heaven sent. Revelation from creator, walk in my benevolence.
Thousand petal lotus, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind blowing. Energy is flowing as the third eye is open. Where we focus the antennas, where the energy is going. Knowledge of the golden. We're pressed like a diamond, an alchemy for refinement. Is seeking for hidden meaning, revealing it when I find it. Get knowledge and understanding. I promise that few will follow and know that we're all connected like brothers with different.
from mamas. Give homage to risen teachers and honor to fallen fathers. Learn the wisdom of the watchers while sitting in lotus posture. Exhale through the nostrils, the smoke of the ayahuasca, as we ride the back of dragons or ascenders of macabre. The study of Joseph Campbell, the meaning of Harry Potter. Brother, tell him to decipher the magic that is inside you.
The fine line.
Simplicity, the golden teacher, speak to me the lessons of eternity. Wisdom from the elements, tell me I am heaven sent. Revelation from creator, walk in my benevolence.
The question I've been asking is, how can a plant be a teacher? If you go and find a member of that species, but different members have different potencies and different takes on the same kind of message. This gets to the teacher part. They use this term, plant teacher, and all plants have a plant teacher in them. Some people think that only the sacred plants do, right? Other shamans said, no, all plants do, just some of the spirits. They call them the mothers, the mother of the plant or the spirit or the teacher. Some are stronger. So that implies that every time we eat any plant, we're taking in that teacher.